immensely blessed to have this light of the glorious gospel. The mystery. That which was hid from generations. Now it is known. A mystery only in the sense that it was hid. Light in the sense that it is revealed. And for those who it is revealed and manifested is truly a blessing. It is. I don't want anyone to sit here, or even those that follow the webcast, to ever take this thing for granted.
No.
Oh my God, we are blessed. Oh, how much we are blessed.
Glory.
To set and receive the essence of God's eternal workings. From eternity. Oh my God. He laid every bit of it out. And it remains in place. It abides. It abides in the saying in his word. And we are blessed this morning. Let us at this time set prayerfully and attentively. As the speaker of the hour, Elder Karen Lieberman, shall come to us with the mystery message, the gospel of the grace of God. Let us receive the messenger with the message. Very hearty, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Grace and peace. Grace and peace. You know, God is so good. As I was preparing for the ministry, I had wanted to talk this morning about temporal things versus eternal things. And I had all my notes out, my little pastor pens, because, you know, I told you I really like preaching from the pastor's pen. And all I could get in my spirit was dispensation. And I said, dispensations? We all know about dispensations. Let's talk about some temporary and eternal things. I couldn't get away from dispensations for nothing. But I didn't have a pastor's pen until I walked in today. And what was the pastor's pen on? Dispensations. And I want to open up in prayer, and then I'm going to indulge you. And the pastor's pen is very short. I'll use that as my introduction, and I'll put the scriptures with it because it all ties in together. I was thinking, and when the Lord kept talking about dispensation, I said, we all know about that. But do we all know about it? No, I don't think so. I think there's a lot of confusion in the body about dispensational truth. We're going to look into some of that this morning. Every head bow, please. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you thanking you because you're our Father. We have that assurance, hallelujah, in our spirit that we are called and elected, hallelujah, to be members of the glorious body of Christ. Father, as we go forth with the word today, we're asking that you might open up our eyes and our ears that we can hear and behold the mysteries about the gospel of the grace of God from the vantage of rightly dividing the truth dispensationally. We're going to talk about time past, if it's your will, and but now. Hallelujah! And we just thank you, Lord. We're asking, Lord, that you might remember those that are not here, those that are yet on their way. And, Father, we're asking, Lord, that you might bless our worldwide audience as well, so that they, too, can understand. We ask these prayers that you might be glorified and honored in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I love the pastor's pen. And this one is called Successfully Walking Spiritually. The testimony of successfully walking spiritually is directly linked to the perception of the truth as conveyed by the gospel of the grace of God. In order for one to fully possess the benefits that are afforded by God's word, the elect of God must have more than just some sense of the truth, but a deep comprehension or insight into the essence of what it entails in this dispensation. Philippians 1:10 states, unto the end that you may prove the thing differing, that ye may be sincere and without offense unto the day of Christ. Note the Greek phrase, and I'll skip that, translated unto the end that ye may prove. Here the thought flows poised obedience to that which precedes it, such as the perception of truth. Thus it is implied as a prerequisite to the fulfillment of what will automatically follow. Note the Greek infinitive, to prove, also rendered to test, try, or examine. The validity of something. It must be fully understood that it is spiritually acceptable to test or examine with the intent to verify the veracity of the message of grace for this present church age. And we reference 1 Thessalonians 5:21. The phrase rendered things differing, as it consists of an article and a compound word derived from the preposition, literally denoting bear or carry through. To scriptural translations such as King James have rendered this expression excellent, but its intransitive meaning is to differ. However, the thought progression is that as things differ, they excel one another. Thus, when something is different, it may also be excellent. But in its established by the Greek grammar, that in this verse, Philippians 1 and 10, as well as other verses in Paul's epistles, the basic meaning and connotation to differ, Romans 2:18, we're referencing 1 Corinthians 15:41, as well as Galatians 2:6 and 4:1. Here it is obviously referring to the fact that there are different messages in the Word of God and that some excel over others. I'm going to read that again. Here it obviously refers to the fact that there are different messages in the Word of God and that some excel over others. An overview of the scriptures reveals that through the ages, God communicated to mankind in different ways. The three major dispensations which differ according to their messages are the Mosaic Law, that's the past, the Grace Mystery Truth, that's the present, and the Kingdom Millennial, which is future. It is essential for these messages to be arranged accordingly and applied to God's elect for their intended ages. Hallelujah. And so, looking at the pastor's pen, we're talking about times past and but now. Times past and but now. I'd like you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2, and our reader is going to read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 16. I mean, 1 to 15. We're going to stop at 15. And we're going to look at that. And we'll read it in the King James as well as in the Greek. And, you know, I thought, well, Lord, this is all elementary. But is it? I don't think so. I think we still in the body of Christ have lots of confusion about cutting straight. By the differentiating of the Gospels, about the fact that we don't need to eat Bible soup. And what is Bible soup? That's when you mix up the old and the new and you cross over to the kingdom and then you jump back over into the millennial age and we mix it all up and pull it all out for our convenience. And that causes a lot of confusion. We need to stay in our Gospel. We need to stay in the letters of the 14 epistles of Paul that were written to us, the church, the glorious body of Christ. And so when we do that, we won't be thinking and so confused and thinking God's schizophrenic. You know, we think God is changing, and he is never changing. Hallelujah. We can trust in the Word of God. We can depend and rely on the Word of God. But we need to stay in our Gospel. We need to stick with our own mail. So, reader, could you please read Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 15, please?
Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with the first verse. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 2. For in time past, you are according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God,
hallelujah,
who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Verse 6, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Hallelujah.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ,
hallelujah,
being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus,
hallelujah,
ye who sometimes were afar are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace,
hallelujah,
who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments containing ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace.
Hallelujah. And we'll read the Greek and the literal next. But for right now, we're looking at time past, but now. Time past. You know, God dealt with Israel, the Jews, by way of the law. That was times past. The Old Testament, times past. The law served as a middle wall of partition. And they mention that in verses, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 to 15 that we just read. That the blood of Jesus took care of that middle wall of partition. It was rent by the blood of Jesus. So there was that separation there in the Old Testament of times past. The law was given to Israel, not to us. There's no such thing as spiritual Israel. People tell you we're spiritual Israel. No such thing as spiritual Israel. We are not Israel. We have never been under the law. And to prove it, if in your study, if you go to Galatians chapter 2, it talks about that. The fact that Paul talks to them and he tells them, oh, foolish Galatians, how can you start out in the spirit and be made perfect by the flesh? What was going on there? There was a lot going on there. They had that Jerusalem council where the Jewish brethren came together and they were disputing with Paul because they wanted, in essence, to make the new converts, the Greeks, those aliens, those Greek dogs, those uncircumcised, for them to be saved, they felt they had to be Jews, like the Jews. So they wanted to kind of blend it and mix it up. And it didn't work then, and it don't work now. Didn't work then, don't work now. Okay? So they wanted all of the new converts to get circumcised. And Paul told them, he said, whoa. We're not going to straddle them with the rudiments of the law. That has been taken care of by the blood of Jesus. We are one in Christ. We're a whole new entity. And you, the body of Christ, are a whole new entity. No such thing as a spiritual Jew. No need of us reaching back into the Old Testament for doctrine. No need of us going there for our instruction, because it's going to cause a problem. And you know, the Lord first laid this week, as I was teaching, I work in child welfare in the state of Michigan, and I was teaching some parents, and we have a zero tolerance for corporal punishment. And inevitably, I always have someone in my class that's a Christian. And they'll just tell me right out, well, Miss Liverman, I believe the Bible is true, and it says what? When you talk about disciplined children, spare the rod, spoil the child. And that's a big problem. But I told this gentleman, who is the son of a pastor, who knows the Bible well, I said, well, you know, I'm not, you know, disputing the scriptures, but let's look at the scriptures in their proper context. I said, so when you start talking about the rod of correction and you start talking about the staff, what did the staff and the rod actually do? Well, the staff was to lead and the rod was to guide. And they were using, the shepherds used the rod and the staff to guide and to lead the sheep. You never read in the scriptures where the good shepherd beat the sheep. You don't read that. You don't find there where the one left the 99 and the good shepherd went up the hill and beat him all the way back down to the 99. No. The scripture says he gently carried him. Gently rescued him and carried him and then led him back to the group. And so I used that and I said, he said, well, you know, it's in the Bible. Yeah, but who's it talking to? That wasn't talking to us. That was talking to them. Who was the them? Israel. That's the Jews. You don't ever find in our doctrine anything about beating. What it does say in Ephesians 5 is that it starts off with, well, I like starting with, most people start with 5:23 where it says, wives, submit to your husband. I like starting with 22 where it says, submit one another. Hallelujah. See, they, all the preachers want to, they want to leave that off. But you get your instruction there when you start talking about rearing children and how to correct them. Because, you know, Christ had 12 disciples. He was a disciplinarian. And a disciplinarian in the Greek is from the word discern, which means teacher and guide. Hallelujah. So parents should be teachers and guides. Christ had 12 disciples, which were 12 learners. And that's what we're doing. We're talking about teaching and guiding. We're talking about how we have a tendency of mixing everything up and it causes confusion. And so I was dealing with this man in this class and I was trying to stay in his Bible. However, he had no understanding about dispensations and covenants. That was where the confusion was coming in. And most of us don't have proper understanding about dispensations and covenants. Well, Sister Lippman, what is a dispensation? Well, a dispensation is to dispensate or administer an economy or administration or house rules. It's a particular program or set of operating instructions that God dispenses for man's obedience during a time period. A dispensation is not the time period. However, it does cover a period of time. The issue is the policy, the program, or the instructions and not the time. Remember, time is an interval of space God sets to implement his will and his purpose. So now I've given you the definition of what a dispensation is. They're house rules. They're designed for us to follow that during that particular era or period of time. And there are 7 dispensations in the Bible. We're not going to talk about all of them today, but we're going to concentrate on 2. We're going to concentrate where most of our confusion comes when we start talking about the law, which you can wrap up from Exodus through really Acts, because it was also implemented during the beginning of that kingdom time, that kingdom church. So that's the law. But our dispensation, which we're going to look at a little more detail, we find that that's the grace dispensation. That's where we are right now. And people have problems about covenants. You know, when you turn on the TV or you listen to the radio, people are always talking about, you know, God's going to bless those that bless Israel. Bless those that bless Israel. He's going to bless you if you do this and he'll give you 5 easy steps. And, you know, all of the things that they're outlining have missed the mark, because everything they're generally talking about is physical, not the eternal. We want to relegate the blessings of God to physicality. And it doesn't have anything to do with physicality, because physicality is temporal. The blessings of God that we talk about in Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 5, he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. They're eternal and they're spiritual and they are invisible. It's not the new car. It's not the new clothes. It's not those having money in the bank. You know, it's not those things that are passing in time. It's those things that are eternal in the heavenlies in Christ. That's where your blessings are. In Christ.
They're free and open to all of us that are members of the body of Christ. It has nothing to do with materialism, nothing to do with what you own, nothing to do with the physicality. And we've got to make a separation between that. What is a covenant? A covenant is a pledge, an alliance, a contract or agreement between two or more parties. There are two types of covenants between God and man, and this is where people have problems. Unilateral or unconditional means all obligations are the responsibility of God. No responsibility is placed upon mankind to effectuate that covenant, and that's the unilateral. That's where we are right now. We are under a unilateral agreement. It's all about Christ and not about us. Everybody say it's all about Him and not about us. Yeah, we're under a unilateral agreement. We are saved not because we gave our hand to the preacher, not because we had an aha moment and confessed Christ with our mouth, not because we were baptized, not because, as my husband told me, he was on the mourner's bench. None of that had anything to do with it. No, you're saved in eternity before the foundation of the world. We must take salvation out of time. Otherwise, we're going to have some problems all the way through. It was not in time. You were saved before the foundation of the world. We were in Christ in eternity. Hallelujah. And you got to get a handle on that or you're going to have some problems. What we look at when we look at the law, we're looking at a bilateral agreement. And bilateral or conditional, meaning mankind is required to do certain things in order to effectuate that covenant. But we're not there. We're not there. Where are we? And for your own information, the chart that I'm teaching from is on the website. Do go to your website and pull down that chart on dispensations and covenants. It's going to set you free. If you get a hold of that in your spirit, in your inner man, and you set aside all this gobbledygook that you hear where everybody's eating the Bible soup, mixing everything up and confused, you never go to outside of your covenant for doctrinal truth. Read your own mail and stay in your own covenant, and then you're going to have some peace. So you can get that document online and download it or study it and certainly share it with other members so that they can be free too. So the law was given to Israel and not to the church. And when they had that big powwow in Galatians, it was about this very thing. The Jewish brothers wanted the Greek brothers to all get circumcised. And they had missed it. They didn't understand. And Paul started talking to them about the fact that that was then. And this is now, but God. Read, please, Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 15 in the Greek, please.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 15 in the interlinear Greek, begin with verse 1. And you being dead in the trespasses and in the sins of you.
Hallelujah.
Verse 2. In which then ye walk according to the age of this world, according to the ruler of the authority of the air, of the spirits now operating in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all conducted ourselves then,
yes,
in the lust of the flesh of us.
Hallelujah.
Doing the wishes of the flesh,
yes,
and of the understandings, and were children by nature of wrath.
Hallelujah.
As also the rest.
Hallelujah.
But God,
hallelujah,
rich being in mercy,
thank you, Jesus,
because of the much love of His, which He loved us, even being us dead in trespasses, quickened with Christ. By grace ye are, having been saved.
Having been, hallelujah, having been when? In eternity, before the foundation of the world. Salvation cannot be put in time. I was teaching a class with my nephew in it, and I was reading from, we were teaching from Romans 8, where it says, nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. No, that's stuff about backsliding. All of that is Old Testament language, not written to us. It was to the Jews. That was based on their bilateral covenant, not for us. We have a unilateral covenant. We don't bring anything to the table. You don't have anything to boast about. I had one lady told me, she said, well, even when I was a sinner, I was God conscious. So that made her a better sinner, right? Oh, my God. She was God conscious even as a sinner. And that she was bringing that as merit. You know, one of the saints told my husband that she got up traditionally at 5 o'clock to pray because her prayers were snatching saints out of hell. And if she didn't get up and pray, some people would perish. Oh, my God, what kind of pride is that? That puts us in the center of all of it. Don't you know that there's nothing you could bring to the table? The scripture says all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. We have nothing to contribute. We had nothing. Everybody say nothing. We had nothing to contribute. You are not saved with your pious self because of what you did. It is all about the finished work of Christ in eternity. Jesus was the Lamb, is the Lamb slain in eternity before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. It is not about you. So stop trying to boast and take credit about how much you give or what you do. It doesn't amount to nothing. It has nothing to do with the truth. And the truth of the matter is that it was all done for us.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, reader.
Amen.
Verse 6. And raised with and seated with in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, in order that he might show forth in the ages coming on the excelling riches of the grace of him in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8. For by grace ye are having been saved through faith.
Say it again.
By grace ye are having been saved through faith.
Hallelujah.
And this is not of you, of God, the gift. Not of works, lest anyone should boast.
Right there. It says it's not of works. You having been. When were you saved? When you marched down the aisle, when you got baptized, we'll go back to all that other stuff. Were you saved then? Absolutely not. You might have acknowledged your salvation, but your salvation is eternal. It's eternal. It's spiritual. It's eternal. It has nothing to do with works. Has nothing to do with what you did or didn't do.
Right.
If your salvation is eternal, it was placed in eternity before time. You cannot lose it in time. So you got to be sure on this, that where is salvation? Salvation is eternal.
Right.
It's always been eternal. After time is gone, salvation still stands. All of the ancients stand. Righteousness stands. Hallelujah. Election stands. Hallelujah. Propitiation stands. Hallelujah. Glorification stands. Hallelujah. All of these great blessings are eternal in the heavenlies, in Christ, where you are right now. Hallelujah. All right. And have always been. Hallelujah. Reader.
Verse 10. For of him we are a product.
Hallelujah. Read that again. For of him.
Verse 10. In the interlinear Greek.
Hallelujah.
For of him we are a product.
Mm-hmm.
Created in Christ Jesus unto works good, which previously prepared God in order that in them we might walk.
Hallelujah. Do you know your life is a testimony? Hallelujah for the glory of God. Your life is purpose for the glory of God. I don't care what's going on. Hallelujah. Your life is purposed for the glory. Do we always understand the purposes and divine will of God? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Now, things may catch you by surprise. But God ain't up in the heavenly saying, you saying, oh, and he said, whoa, you know, because he's more surprised than you. Absolutely not. Your life is hidden in Christ in God. Hallelujah. You are complete in Christ. Everybody say, I'm complete in Christ. You are complete in Christ. What is always has been. Hallelujah. And what is. It already is. Turn the light off. No grace, no peace. You're saved by grace in eternity before the foundation of the world. That should give you peace. If you understand and view life from the vertical plane, hallelujah, you will have peace. Won't be surprised. Things happen that we don't understand. Things are hidden to us because God knows we probably couldn't stand it no way if everything was revealed. But he already knows. It is because it always has been. Reader.
Verse 11, wherefore remember ye that when ye walk, that when ye, the nations, in flesh, the being called uncircumcision, by the being called circumcision, in flesh made by hand, that ye were at that time without Christ, having been alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers of the covenant,
hallelujah,
a promise. Hope, not having, and godless in the world.
Hallelujah.
Now, but in Christ Jesus.
Say it again.
Now. But in Christ Jesus, ye, the then being afar, became near by the blood of Christ. Verse 14, for he is a piece of us, the having made both ones, and the middle wall of partition, having broken the enmity,
hallelujah,
in the flesh of him, verse 15, the law of the commandments and decrees, having abolished, in order that the two might create in him unto one new man, making peace.
Hallelujah. We have peace in him. We have peace in the body of Christ. We have peace in the one glorious body made up of both Jew and Greek, made up of both bond and free, made up of both women and men. The Bible says, if you look in the Greek in Galatians, we're not going to read it, but for your own reference, in Galatians chapter 2, it says, there cannot be any division. There cannot. It's impossible. We are all one in Christ. And that's some heavy-duty stuff. Times pass. In that reference of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, it talks about the fact, but God, because of the grace of God, we were brought into the glorious body of Christ. Not because of anything that we did. He quickened us or made us alive in him. And we were placed together in Christ in eternity. That's what it's talking about. Salvation in Christ is eternal in the heavenlies. Salvation, hallelujah, is part of that spiritual blessing that we talk about. And that is referred to in Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 5. You can read that on your own when it talks about being blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. But now, in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2:13, and it reads, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the blood of Jesus that broke down that middle wall of partition. The blood of Jesus is what did the work. Not you. Not because of something you did. And when was the blood shed? The Bible says Jesus was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. That was a completed work in God in eternity before the foundation of the world. You got to get that or you're going to have a lot of confusion. If you don't have that as a reality, you're going to have some problems. Salvation is not in time. Since it's not in time, it can't be lost in time. Once saved, always saved. Hallelujah. You are saved because you have always been saved. Hallelujah. Not of works. Is this giving you a permission to sin? Absolutely not. I already talked about the conversation. When you say see conversation, and we had that word in which verse is this? We talked about the conversation of men. Here in verse 3 it says, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, going about talking about the lust and the sins of the flesh. That is times past. Our conversation should be different. As a member of the body of Christ, you got to walk different. Your conversation or your manner of living, you have the ability to do different. Do we make mistakes? Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. But do you keep making them? No. As you see the light, you walk in the light. Being saved by grace, hallelujah, not of works, is not permission to sin. On the contrary, as you know better, you do better. And Paul answers that in Ephesians, in Romans chapter 6, when he says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And what was his answer? Oh, no, God forbid. No, you're not to. So they take care of that. But on the same token, realize that you are not making and breaking where you spend your eternity. That's a done deal, and you got to get that. You know, you got to get that. So go back, make reference later, Galatians 3:28, where it says there cannot be divisions, that we are one in Christ. We are one, the glorious body of Christ. So what I want you to do is to refrain from eating Bible soup. Stop eating the Bible soup. Stop going to the outside of your dispensation for instruction. Stay in your mail. Stay with what God has provided for you. Let's capitalize and let's major in what is major. And that's the 14 epistles of Paul. That's major. That's where we're to get our doctrine. That's where we're to get our instruction from, the 14 epistles. Those that are written, and it tells you it's written to, it says to the church at Ephesus, to the church at Colossae, to the church of Rome. You are the church, guys. So read the church's mail. Read what's written to you, and put away that Bible soup. You cannot mix what was in times past. That was the law of Israel, written to Israel. You are but now the church. You are one in Christ. You are the glorious body of Christ. If you mix dispensational truths and go outside of the 14 epistles for doctrine and direction, you'll be eating that Bible soup and you're going to have a spiritual tummy ache. Stay in your mail. Thank you.